We learned on last Sunday, not that we didn't already know it, that death and life is where? In the power of the tongue. It's in our spoken word. And when we realize that, and it, because the Bible says that in Proverbs 18:21, I believe that's where it is, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And you're going to eat whatever you put in your mouth and keep saying it. The Bible says you must love it because you keep saying it. Kind of dumb to say something you don't like and don't want to have. Like, I'm broke. Kind of dumb to keep saying it when you don't want to be broke. It is dumb. It's borderline crazy. Because you're looking for a different result that you can't have because your mouth not willing to say it. When you get your mouth in line with the word of God, things will change. The Bible declares you're going to eat the fruit of your mouth. So your and it, well, what I want to share, because your words are powerful, say my words are powerful. See, they're going to either give me life or they're going to give me death. But we have been trained through the old death sentence life to speak words that cooperate with death. We speak words that cooperate with death. Because remember last Sunday I was sharing with you how that from the moment your mama conceived you, you were a what? A sinner. You were born into the death system. Because the penalty of death was already on you from the moment you were conceived. Oh, Jesus. Man, that's a powerful thing that they have to live with. When you know, you get up and know that if you don't do something different, you're going to die. You're going to die. Ain't no ifs, ands, and buts. Because you got to understand something. The curse is still out in the atmosphere. It's still out there. This is why our words have to come in check with the word of God. Because the curse is still out there. And the moment you open your mouth and say what's wrong, the curse has a right to attach itself to you. And if you said something wrong, go back and pluck it up and pull down. And like the Bible says, pulling down every stronghold. Come against that mess. And then change the way you talk. Change your belief system. And it starts with your mouth because your belief system can't get strong without your mouth. Hallelujah. The reason you talk so fluently about death is because you've been trained over the years how to talk death. So we speak words that cooperate with death. I'm so sick and tired of this. This is about to kill me. My job drives me crazy. I hate the way I look. It scared the life out of me. And people say that just like air, breathing. It's so normal to people. This is why, say why, we have to restart our minds. Remember, Jesus came and restarted mankind. But our mind was still attached to the old Adam that failed. That didn't get born again. I'm going to get ready to share with you why it didn't get born again. There's a reason why it didn't get born again. But we must restart it. Say, I must restart it. Listen, this is part of you that God, this part of you, God will not touch. You mean there's a part of me God won't touch? Absolutely. Do I have your attention yet? Hallelujah. Now you won't, now why won't God touch your soul? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Why won't God touch your soul? That's the part God will not touch. Somebody say, Lord, help my mind. No, I'm going to help you right now. Because he's not going to touch your soul. Are you there? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Well, it might help if I went there. I had it marked in my notes, but I didn't turn to it. We then, as workers, to what? Together with him. Say, workers together. Beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So what is the word saying to us? It says that we are workers together with God, and we should not take God's grace for granted. Because in other words, allowing this grace to have no effect on our lives. We get born again and then we don't allow the grace of God to affect or effect our lives. Because of one reason, it says, because he says, the day when you needed salvation, I came and delivered you. Today is a day you should respond to his favor. Today is the day of salvation. Salvation of what? Your soul. Are you ready for the answer? Because in your soul is your freedom of choice. In your soul is your freedom of choice. And since God originally created man with the power to choose, if God was to touch it, he would take away your freedom to choose. See, Adam had the freedom to choose. He chose unwisely and created chaos to all that we have to deal with today because of a choice. But that was what God gave him, the ability to choose. And when Jesus restarted mankind, we're right back in the same position that Adam before he rebelled was. We still have to choose. Because God would never make you choose him. Need to hear that. Jesus put us back into the position that mankind was in before Adam rebelled. Adam was free to choose. So since mankind was restarted, then the moment you accepted what Jesus did on the cross, your power to choose life or death kicked in. See, before you got born again, you didn't have a choice. You were dying. You didn't have a choice. I know you thought you were big and bad and all that, but you didn't have a choice. You were dying. You were automatically in the death cycle because you were born into the death cycle. And you can't get out without accepting Jesus. It's the only escape. Jesus is it. Now, you don't have to believe this little short woman, but I'm telling you, one day you'll stand before him and you're going to bow your knees and say he's the Lord. Now, let's look at Romans 12, 1 and 2. My husband's one of his favorite scriptures. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Because a lot of times after we get born again, we take too long to restart our mind. This is the problem we have in the body of Christ. We take too long to get this joker lined up with who we are now. You're waiting on God to do something when it's your job. He's not going to ever, ever, ever do it. Because you're choosing not to renew your mind. And no such thing, you can't. I don't care how slow you are, how fast you are, how medium you are. No, everybody can renew their mind. And you have to if you're going to work with God. Are you there? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed, and be not conformed, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing, by the restart. And when you look up the word renew, it actually has restart as part of the definition. You have to restart, reset your mind to align it up with the will of God. It's not going to do it automatically because it's attached to the death cycle. Ooh, you got to hear this. Because it's attached to the death cycle. You have to pull down the strongholds that's been in there. And if you don't deliberately do it, it'll never get done. And there's going to be a lot of things you'll miss out that God had planned for you because you won't regulate your soul. Now, you have dominion and power over it to do it, and that's the help God gave you. He gave you power over it. He gave you his word, and it's your choice to do it or not to do it. And you can't blame nobody for your weak mind. And stop saying, I don't know how to study. Just jump in there. If you just do something 15 minutes a day, three times a day, that's 45 minutes, you'll be amazed at what you'll discover and what you'll grab hold of if you go with the intent to change. Not to have a conversation with somebody, but to change you. See, we're too busy trying to fix other people before we let the word fix us. And we take what we hear and go blah, 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 telling everybody about it. It hasn't fixed you yet. You need to go home and meditate. Let it become a part of how you think so that when you say it to somebody else, it has power. And it's just not a conversation. Are you learning? And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing or the restarting or the resetting of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. One translation says, beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? I encourage you to surrender yourself to God, to be his sacred living sacrifices, and live in holiness, experiencing all that delights his heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. Stop imitating the ideas and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will. See, your mind got to be renewed so you can discern the will of God. Now, God understands that you're growing into things. See, God is smarter than all of us. How many of y'all know that? So he's not expecting you to go from 0 to 60 in 60 seconds. He knows it's a process in renewing your mind. But if you don't ever start, he can't give you any aid. The word won't help you. Because you're rebelling, believe it or not. When you decide you're not going to develop your soul, you're telling God, I don't need you. I don't need you in my soul because I'm smart. And a mind is a terrible thing to what? Y'all seen the commercial. Because your mind renewal is going to empower you to discern God's will as to how you should live. Now, if you are tender and young in the Lord, you must get your soul restored or renewed in order to cooperate with the new life given you. See, that's why it has to be renewed. Because the new life that God, that Jesus restarted in you It has a certain language that must be developed in you. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. We have to empty out the words we use in the death cycle and learn this brand new way of talking. See, in the kingdom of heaven, this new language is the only language recognized. I'm reading my notes because I write so fast that if I didn't put it down, I probably wouldn't say it the same way. It is called the language of faith. It's the only language recognized in heaven. God doesn't honor anything you say. And it's a good thing he doesn't, because some of the dumb stuff we say, if he did it, you would be dead by now. He only honors words of faith. Look at Hebrews 11:6. See, because if we don't learn the new language of where we are now joined to, it displeases God, because he can't communicate with us the way he desires. See, when before Adam rebelled, God had open communion. Say open communion. The Bible said God would come in the cool of the day and talk with Adam. He had open communication. They spoke the same language. God didn't have to struggle to get Adam to understand what he was saying, because Adam's soul had not been destroyed. Now we're back in the same position, but we have to fix the soul. And God can't do it, because that's where your choice is, your ability to choose. And you must choose to be a disciple. I'm going to be a disciplined one. I'm going to discipline myself to this word. I'm going to discipline myself to live holy. I don't have to keep falling. I don't have to keep sinning. I don't have to keep making the same dumb mistakes. I'm going to discipline myself in the word, because that's what a disciple is. It's a disciplined one. They are disciplined to what they are learning. Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith, without the faith link, it is impossible. Say impossible. I'm trying to help you. It is impossible. Not almost. God don't understand all the crime we do. No, he's not there. He's not moved by your tears. He's looking for faith. Now, you can be crying and be in faith, but he's looking for words of faith, not just tears. Lord, you know how hard I've been having it. Lord, you know. And you know how bad they treated me, Lord. And Lord, you know, and Lord, you know, and Lord, you know, Lord, they just messing with me, Lord, and Lord, and Lord, Lord. And I'm so tired of that, Lord, and Lord. You ain't spoke no faith yet. You're rehearsing an ugly issue. You haven't spoken the language of heaven yet. If I'm really upset about something, and I know I'm, because, you know, if I'm going to cry, I'm going to cry. I'm going to start saying the word while I'm crying. And soon I stop crying. You know, after a while, the tears will go away. Because you can't keep confessing the word and keep, and then stay sad. You just can't do it. Therefore, mind renewal. All right. So Hebrews 11:6 says, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, watch this. So in other words, faith without faith is impossible to please him. But hold on. What does it further say? It says that when you come before God, you got to believe. That takes faith. The whole system runs on faith. So when you go to God, you can't even go in there doubting whether or not if he'll do something that you want him to do. He ain't hearing it. You need to stay on the outer court till you get your stuff together. It's better to take time than to rush in and ask God for something in fear. because you're not going to get it anyway. Take time and meditate the word and get the word on it. And then when you go in prayer, you have a legitimate right to ask God. Because he said, put me in remembrance of my word. See, what Jesus did wasn't supposed to just make us come to church and be churchgoers. It was supposed to restart your mind so God can work with you in the earth. You can't work with God when your mind is out of alignment. You might be born again, but you're unproductive because your mind is not in alignment. And you don't know how to communicate with God, and God can't communicate with you because y'all not talking the same language. He's listening for faith, and all you keep giving is fear, doubt, and unbelief. He says, it says that when you go before God, you must believe that he's real. And he's pouring out his goodness on those who passionately seek him or seek the ways of the new kingdom. Because that's what righteousness really means. It's talking about the ways of the kingdom. Matthew 6:33 tells us what? To seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's his ways. Righteousness is his ways. It's not just a state of being. But I'm supposed to learn his righteous ways. Ooh. Not just be with him for a thrill and a touch. I'm supposed to learn his ways. And in order to learn his ways, I have to renew my mind. It's no different than if somebody wanted to learn, and I might do this on YouTube eventually, if somebody wanted to learn how I cook a certain thing, you have to renew your mind to my version. I've had people in the past, I showed them how to make bread. Not some people did it right, but people want to buy what they want to buy and put in there, and then when the stuff go flop, they want to blame me. No, you didn't submit to what I said. Because you, in your mind, you already had the idea how to make bread. You should have stuck with what was in your mind. Because if you think what's in your mind is getting you the right results, you need to stay with that and quit saying, I'm loving the Lord. I'm obeying God. No. I was talking to somebody recently, and I told him, I said, just as calm as I could, I said, Suge, if what you are doing is not working, you going to keep right on working it? I mean, if you see all the neon signs that say, this is not working, and you going to still try to work it? See, that's a mind problem. Because inside, they got a view. They got an idea of how it should be done. Even though it's not right. That's the way we treat God. So mind renewal is of utmost importance to the new man. And it has to be done by you and me. We the only ones that can do it. We're the only ones that can do it. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. 2 Timothy. See, when we understand something about what has been done, and I mean the closer we get to Resurrection Sunday, I'm just so excited because to know that God did all of this. Him and Jesus did all of this just so I can get a whole brand new start. And I don't want to waste what Jesus did by not doing my part. I just don't want that to waste. I don't want his blood to waste not one drop. I don't want to waste any of it by not developing my mind and renewing my mind to the things that God said that I am, that I can have. You know, if poor was such a part of the Bible, then you should never complain about what we're dealing with. Don't ever grumble if you think poverty is a part of being a Christian. You should be the happiest camper out there. See, you're a hypocrite. I said it. You're a hypocrite. You talk like you're broke, but you really want stuff. So that's a hypocrite. And you're deceiving your heart. Your heart trying to say, well, what do you want me to grow? You saying this, but what do you want me to grow? Because inside you got this war going on. You just don't know how to get what the person next to you got. Because they renewed their mind and you lazy. You're rebelling. I need you to know something. When we don't grow, we're rebelling. The Bible says, sin lies at the door. What's sin? Guilt of rebellion. Woo, Jesus. So there are some rebellion in there somewhere that's preventing the whole thing from working. Man, I'm going to tell you, I just clean house. Man, I go through, you know, when we were coming up, and I know some of y'all probably still do it. My mama used to smell like a Clorox factory by the time, because on Saturday everything was bleached out, you know. From the chairs to the sheets. She would soak them in the tub overnight, and our job was to wring them out. By the time 3 o'clock, you were so glad to see 3 o'clock Saturday evening. Because we work from 6 o'clock to 3 o'clock. And by that time, all you want to do is take a nap. Because the house was going to be clean. Some of us need to go and clean our house. And not just where we dwell, but our mind. Take a broom and go in there and sweep that mess out. Are you there? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Who have saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Oh. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished, say abolished, death and have brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Oh, so it says Jesus abolished. The word abolished is a real good word. It means if he formally, say formally, put an end to something. He just got rid of it. Listen, if you're born again, you're not in the death cycle. It's been done away in the new system. There is no more dying in the kingdom of God. There is no more dying. You don't have to be afraid of death. It's not part of the system. What you're wrestling with is a soul issue. Because the new you does not have death in it. So renew your mind so it can cooperate with the new you and live as long as you want to live. Woo, Jesus. So Jesus formally put an end to death. He got rid of it. And he brought life and immortality. Immortality is a state of endless life beyond the power of death. Man, I jumped up when I read that. I said, what? Yeah, it's an endless life beyond the power of death. Death can't even grab hold of this. It can't even get in it. It have no access to the new you. Man, you ought to be happy. See, you're looking at the physical body. You say, well, I got pains, I got aches, I'm getting older. Girl, do something about that. That's your job. Change it with your words and your actions, and your body will respond. But he's saying the new you, there is no death no more. So quit talking like you're still part of the death cycle. There is no more death. Come on, say, there is no more death. Say it again. There is no more death. It's been done away with. Aren't you happy? Woo. Hallelujah. And immortality, he gave us life. In other words, he gave us a life that never ends. It's an endless life. So you don't have to consider dying. Never consider dying, because you're never going to die. If you're born again, you will never, ever die. Ooh, Jesus. Because of what Jesus did. Now here's something that you might want to write down. We value what we pay for, but we treat as trivial what we did not pay for. I see that too many times. I mean, I don't give anybody anything that I don't want for myself. That's just the way, you know, I learned that over the years. That if I'm going to give something to somebody, I want it to have value. I don't want to give it to you when it's on its last leg. Okay, I'll talk to the table because I feel like I'm stepping on some toes. You shouldn't give people stuff that you would have put in the trash otherwise. I think you've done something, because that's not what Jesus did for you. See, but we treat what Jesus did as trivial because we didn't have to pay for it. But you did. The Bible declared that we were buried with him. If you see yourself right, you paid the price right along with Jesus. He was the representative man that actually did it physically. But we got to see ourselves dying to the old man spiritually. You got to see yourself dead to the old you and raised in the new. Woo, Jesus. See, this take mind renewal. This take mind renewal, people. You know, I was sitting in my recliner and I was just thanking the Lord last night for his goodness. And it just rested on me. Because I'm always mindful of how good he is to me. I tell him, I don't know how many times a day, but I say it every time I can think of it. Lord, you're so good to me. You take excellent care of me. You preserve me. Even when I didn't even know you were doing it, you preserved me. You kept me in some of the most horrendous situations. You brought me out. And I was sitting there, and boy, before I knew, I was having a hallelujah party. Because I began to think about, you know why? Because my mind is renewed to his goodness. Therefore, I'm always mindful of his goodness. And I never take for granted what he did for me. I can be anywhere, and all of a sudden, I can just sense his presence. He be loving on me, and I be loving him back. And I can be in the place getting my, well, I don't go to the hair salon, but I can be washing my hair, whatever. And I sense his presence. You know why? Because all day long, I'm mindful of his goodness and what he did to get me restarted. Don't treat it as trivial just because you didn't have to pay for it, but you did. In the spirit realm, you paid for it. Look at Hebrews 2. Because we partook. Hebrews 2, verse 14 and 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and delivered me, I always put my name in there, who through fear of death were all my lifetime subject to bondage. Because without what Jesus did, I was always subject to death. Just a matter of time. Mankind went from living to 1,000 years or 900 some years to 120. Say process. And you know, God did that so the devil, because he knew the devil still had access to our bodies. Now Hebrews 9:12, you can look at it if you want to. But it wasn't done by the blood of goats and calves, but by the blood of Jesus. Ooh, go ahead and turn to it. Look at verse 12. Hebrews 9:12. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal, endless life. He obtained endless life. He redeemed us. Woo, Jesus. He obtained eternal redemption for us. Never again will anybody, anything have to die for our behalf. Hallelujah. He did it once and for all. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean. Yeah, heifer, you know, we used to say that. You ugly heifer. We didn't know. We were just saying something somebody else said. You didn't know what it meant. Sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh. Woo, Jesus. How much more shed the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God. Purge your conscience. They sound like he did the mind thing for you. No, he purged your life so that your mind could get right. Look, purge your conscience. I'm supposed to take the blood that he spilled and clean my mind. Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is a force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Jesus died so he could ratify this New Testament. And then he rose to ensure it. He became the guarantor of it. Ooh, Jesus. He became the guarantee that we can succeed all over again. He says, mankind, restart. Now renew your mind. Because I put you back in position to choose. Choose life. He gave us the answer. Choose life. Because death is still out there. And it's taking advantage of every opportunity you give it. Death is still out there. So now we see why mind renewal is so important. It's not an option, people. It's a mandate. It's a mandate. You need to start. You know, start reading a book about what Jesus did. And then go to the book of Acts and discover what you can do in the book of Acts, how the Holy Ghost came. And if you don't pray regularly in the Holy Ghost, shame, 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 shame. That's love talk. You need to get up and start again. Because that's the beginning. Because the Bible declares that as you pray in the Holy Ghost, who gets built up? You. And you can go back and read a scripture that you've been struggling with, trying to get. You've been writing all them 50-lab notes about that you still don't understand. He'll give you what it means to you at this moment. And it'll transform you. It always comes back to mind renewal. Because that's the greatest attack against the body of Christ. It's always what we don't know about God that hangs us up. The more you know about him, the sweeter your life will be. The easier your life will be. And you'll learn to cast your cares, honey. I'm telling you. You really will. And this stuff you're hearing that's happening in our nation, it shouldn't alarm you. It should not make you afraid. You're not going to run out of food. Are you a tither and a giver? Then you got guaranteed food. God had to lie and stop being God if he don't feed you. If you trust in him. I mean, how many canned goods you going to stock in your house? Stuff you don't even like. Because you're listening to the system of death that's telling you how to prepare for something that you're not ever going to have. And that's a shortage. It's training you. See, the death cycle is out there. It's still teaching you to regard death. I ain't regarding what they say. I'm not going to go buy no 25-pound bag of rice, and I don't eat rice that much. It'll probably get buggy before you can ever eat it. And by the time you look up, this stuff will be over with. And God would have brought this stuff to a close. And you got all that stuff in your house that you can't carry back to the store. Because they don't want it. That's why they sold it to you. And if you notice they're putting out stuff, you say, what in the world is that in the can? You better take this word and become one with it. Amen. Did you learn anything this morning? Come on, stand to your feet. See, because it's important to God, because God wants to commune with you. And when you understand that he really wants to talk to you, but he wants to be able to talk to you, it's just like my grandbaby, and I love him dearly. He tried so hard to communicate with me, but his language and my language haven't just aligned. Now he's learning new words, and the words that he knows, you know, we keep reiterating those words, but he's still learning the language. So he says what he can hear, but it doesn't come out the way we would say it. How many of you know what I'm talking about? But one day, I'm going to be able to say, grandson, such and such and such and such. And he'll be able to say, yes, grandma. Because he would understand why. His mind was renewed to the language. And the more he becomes familiar with the language, the easier it is for him to express himself. And he's going to be an expressor. Because the baby can talk. But that's good. I love hearing him talk. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That tells me he is discovering. When you go in this mind renewal, you're going to be discovering. And man, it's like you can't never put stuff down. Because every time you go look at something, your mind says, I never saw that before. I didn't know what that was. Lord, I didn't know you were talking about that. You're discovering. And he'll say, yeah, I put that in there just for you. That's the way God will talk to you, because he loves you. You say, I ain't never had that, Pastor Dana. I don't know if I ever had that, because you haven't given him time. You haven't given him your mind. Because when you go back and you sit down and get quiet, and you begin to meditate on his goodness, you follow up with a study, man, it just changes the whole atmosphere. And I'm so grateful for what he did. Because I'm alive today, because the devil didn't like me either. When I was first married, our first year of marriage, discovered I had lupus. Look what God did. Look what God did. Don't tell me what God won't do. When the daughter said I couldn't have any children, don't tell me what my God can't do. I had three when they said I wasn't supposed to have any more. Two of them in the room today. I think they look pretty healthy to me, don't they? They've been here a while. Because the power of the word, when you get your mind aligned with the word, anything, say anything. Jesus said anything is possible to him that will believe. I believe, Lord. I believe you, Lord. I believe you, Lord. I don't care how funny I might look, but I believe your word, Lord. And you are doing great and marvelous things in our midst. You are changing. You are changing us, Lord. And we are changing our minds to line up with your will. We want to know your will for our lives, Lord. And we know it is done by our changing the way we think and the way we talk. So we're on this discovery of mind renewal. And we are excited about all the things that we will learn that you have already prepared for us in advance. Woo! What a day is going to be! I'm discovering all the jewels that God had up there for me. Hey! Woo, Jesus! There's a home that he got for me. Ah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me just share. I'm on this journey. I told the Lord, I said, I want my home. I said, I know this is not my forever home. Because you got the place I really want. And you know where the land is. And you know everything I want in it. Because I got it on paper. But I said, I want this house to be like the embassy. I want this house to be so pretty. But all that I got, I'm investing. I'm doing this. And I'm changing this. And I'm doing that. And do you not know God always, say always. Let me tell y'all something. I sold my family room furniture into somebody. Not because they needed it. They wanted it. They had furniture. But I wanted what I needed. And sometimes you got to give up what you like to get the next level of what you want. So to keep from hesitating, I just got, first I tried to sell it. Y'all know I'm not good on that Facebook, mark, all that, I'm not good. They put it up there, didn't look like nobody, people called, people said, can you come down? I said, you know what, take it off. It's time, that means it's not for sale, I'm supposed to give it. And I did. And I only had mixed match chairs in my family room. And two chairs not even gonna stay in that room. But I want you to know the seed. Now, said Pastor had to put some money out. Cause everything not gonna come just cause you sow a seed gonna come free. But I got a three-piece family room with two cocktail tables, a coffee table, two end tables, solid wood. Looking at a set, and they were only for the cup, for no tables included. I'd have paid almost over $2,000 just for the love seat and the couch. But I got the whole shebang, because my God know how to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that I ask or think. That's why I'm not afraid to sow. And it came in the strangest way. This is why you got to be listening. You got to get up every day expecting God to favor you. This is called mind renewal. You have to renew your mind to the favor of God. He used my daughter-in-law. Somebody, she hooked up with. I didn't know the lady. The lady said, I'm moving back to Georgia. On the midnight train to Georgia. Anyway. She moving back to Georgia. She had only had the furniture maybe 3 years, 2.5 years, in excellent shape. back out of family room. Let's all put back together again. See, I'm not afraid to get somebody else stuff because I know that's not the end of everything. But it looks good. It looks good in my family room. It looks like it's been there all the time. It's like, this where you belong. See, I'm trying to show you. Because sometimes we miss things with God because we got our mind set on what we want and not the way God will bring it. He might use somebody that you didn't think would have the ability to do it. And you'll overlook because your mind not renewed to hear him talk about goodness. Come on, see, the mind renewed, the good things that God got laid up for us, it's always working. He's always putting it out. We're just not hearing it because we're not expecting it. I want you to leave this place today expecting the favor, the goodness of God. And on that note, I'm going to read this. Y'all going to say this after me. Say, I am the righteousness of God. Therefore, I am entitled to covenant kindness and covenant favor. The favor of God is among the righteous. Are you righteous? All right then. The favor of God surrounds the righteous. Therefore, it surrounds me. Everywhere I go and in everything I do, I expect the favor of God to be in full manifestation in my life. Never again will I get up without the favor of God. It rests richly upon me. It profusely abounds in me. I am part of the generation that is experiencing God's favor immeasurably, limitlessly, and surpassingly. Therefore, favor is producing in me supernatural increase, promotion, restoration, honor, increased assets, greater victories, recognition, prominence, preferred treatment, petitions granted, policies and rules change, and battles won in which I do not have to fight. The favor of God is on me. The favor of God is on me. And it goes before me. Therefore, my life will never be the same. This is the time of God's favor in my life. That's just my God. Ooh. Now embrace that favor. Embrace his favor. Embrace his favor. Expect his favor. Expect his favor. Never again will you get up not expecting his favor. I don't care if you said the dumbest thing the day before. You get up expecting his favor. Expect his favor. And watch him do something good for you. In the grocery store, somebody might say, you know what? I'll take care of that. You've been doing it for somebody. Maybe somebody will do it for you. And just say, thank you, Lord, for your favor. Thank you for your favor. Never forget to thank him. Don't be like the 9 leopards. It was 10, only one came back and thanked him. Be that one. Come back and thank him. Woo. See his goodness everywhere you go, and his goodness will overtake you. Come on, let's just laugh in the Lord. Ha 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 ha! Ha 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 ha! Hallelujah! Oh, we bless your name, Lord. Ha, 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 ha. And remember this, the will of God for you is in earth as it is in heaven. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.